Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Father, glorify your name in our lives. Glorify your name in our lives. Glorify your name in our lives, oh God. Ligra dizado celebaza na hasikato zabaya bradagadosh itania intozi lakaya barosa tana hasikalebas revelagadosh ataya da bande kusalia daya menonzi bladagadas ikosetela da bas. Glorify your name, O God. Ilosi gradabasi nentoze la da bas shataya irakesetele da bas. Sekenia Zugrada Gadosh Intos Elebasi Karia Dabande Mande Kesetele Debasa Ribale Konshataya Bande Karia Ladabasa. The power of God is overwhelming today. The power of God is overwhelming in our meeting today. Irusi kataya dabas, inozele dabas, ibredegede sataya dabas, sulandia gados, ibredegados, sekelebante lida hasita. Let the weight of your glory, menos ikapaya basiketele dabas, let the weight of your glory fall on us. Irusi kapaya balusa, we want to be clothed in your glory, we want to be clothed in your glory. Kesetele de basa intos elebasi karia dasi lebezegedasa kania nosha mande kasuta libre de gedesita ilos ilebre de gedasa mande kosataya intos eledabaya maria la kaya da hasi ketele de basa. We want to be clothed in your glory, God. Isokoto pakaya balaka sila desa erebelegedesitaya da basa. I hear the Lord saying, do you know what you are asking for? He says that what we are asking for was his original design. He says you are asking for what I actually want to give you, what I prepared before. He said, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be a carrier of this same glory, to be a partaker of this same glory. So he says, as you key your heart, as you key your heart, as you key your heart to this desire, it descends upon you. Do you know what you are asking for? You are asking for what I actually want to give to you. And so I want you to key your heart. I want you to key your heart. I want you to key your heart, because I'm pouring it out. My power will be made evident in your life. My power will be made evident in your life. My glory will be made evident in your life, says the Lord of hosts. My glory will be made evident in your life. What you desire is what I desire. So I am putting in you the ability and capacity to carry what I have breathed in you. Maru sekele de basa, into sekele de basa, makaya balia dosha. It is my desire to give to you. It is my desire to give to you. Eru sekele basa, mande kesa tele de baya, ina kasa taya. I want you to be clothed in my glory. Because dust will not do it. Dust cannot do it. What we are engaging with, the level of dust, the level of mere flesh cannot do it. So you must be clothed in my glory. And I have released upon this house, says the Lord, my power. The power to actually be transformed. The power to be, I have released upon this house, says the Lord. And I am removing, the spirit that gives you a form, but not the real deal.
Ilakosa kaya dabas. Menon celebrada gadosh. I am releasing my power over this house. The power, because it's not by our own might, it's by His Spirit. And so the power that comes with my presence and my spirit is being released upon us. That we may equalize with divine design. Because it is divine design to wear the glory. To put on the glory. To put on the nature of Christ. It is my design, says the Lord. And so as you have prayed, I have heard you. I have answered you. And it is time to walk in it. It is time to run with it. Be it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. I want us to just thank the Lord for what He has released. The grace He has released upon us. The grace He has released upon us. The power He has released upon us. I want us to thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Father, because you have finished it. Thank you because you have finished it. Thank you because you have finished it. Be thou glorified. And right now, anytime we say be glorified, we know what we're saying. There is no be thou glorified if we don't embody the nature of God. He doesn't get the glory. Because He says, all I want is for you to be glorified. And the way He gets glorified is when men see Him in us. He's God. He's God all by Himself. He doesn't necessarily need us, but by His divine design, He has crafted it in such a way that He predestined us to be carriers of His very life. Says He breathed and we became living beings, living souls. And so, Father, we thank you for your breath. As you have breathed in us, we will not act as if we are dead. We will not live according to the parameters of this realm, because what came into us was not from here. We will not function in accordance of the dictates of this realm, because what is functioning in us is not from here. And so we connect to our real design, our real home, our real place, our real source, the source of life. We connect in the name of Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name we have prayed and worshipped. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Like Pastor said, please don't descend. Please don't descend. Whew, how many of you guys are not just knowing what is happening, but you can feel it. I know we are not just the people who are defined by feelings, but there are times where the presence and the power of God is so strong that it overtakes the tripartite being. So you can feel it in your spirit, you can feel it in your mind, and you can feel it literally in your body. Where God overwhelms you so much with His power and His presence and His truth that you almost don't know how to stand. Because every time we interface with the nature and the person and the character of God through His word, we are not the same. We are never the same. I hope you know things have shifted. Do we know?
Yes.
Are we aware?
Yes.
What a blessing. Pastor said it earlier. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be a part of what God is doing now. As Dr. Woodruff was talking, the scripture that came to my mind, because he was saying it's from faith to faith. And God was saying faith is the beginning, faith is the journey, faith is the end. And we are entering into a realm that we did not start, but we are carrying the energy from those who have gone before us to the finish. We cannot act like people who do not have, who do not have, who do not have such a grace. Say, Moses, haven't seen Christ. Where? What did he touch? Christ was not visible in the Old Testament. So what did Moses see? It's the same grace that has been released to us today. The grace to see into the Spirit. Dr. Woodruff called it perceptive sight. Moses did not have identity crisis. Yes, I was born in this family, but I'm not from here. Yes, I'm in Nigeria, but I'm actually not from here. These are the conditions that brought about my birth and my coming into the finishing church and all the things that have culminated into who I am today. But truth be told, I'm accessing a realm beyond this place. As I was there and we were worshiping, God said to me, the only thing that has the capacity to fulfill you must be taken from where you are from. Nothing has the capacity to fill you up. Nothing has the capacity to satisfy you. Nothing has the capacity to engage you in relentless pursuit than that which you are originally from. That place you are originally from. It is the upper realm. That design, that's how I've designed this thing. So it doesn't matter what you chase, what it cannot, because you're not from here. So until we start to engage with life from above, we will end up in this cycle. But as the finishing church, as the finishing church, this is our prophetic destiny. It is our prophetic destiny to gaze into the future. We're not living from the past, like Dr. Woodruff said. We are living from the future. We see there's a predestination already. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. It is our predestined state to actually finish this thing. That's the divine design. He says, the song was saying that, delight in me. The verse that says, I want you to delight in me. I can't remember how it goes, but that was the word, right? And God says, if you want me to delight in you, you're going to have to key and accept who I have called you to be. You have to accept it. I am a finisher. It says, by faith, the things they hoped for, the substance of what we've not seen. We don't know what it looks like to finish, but we are holding on to it because that's who God has called us to be. And we will not use their grace in vain. We will not use the graces of those who have gone before us in vain. We will not use the grace of Sarah in vain. We will not use the grace of Abraham in vain. As Dr. Woodruff was calling those, you know, the names of those in the Hall of Faith, and he was talking about us, and God says, John 4:38, he says, I sent you. Finishers, God is saying, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. This is scripture. This is Jesus talking. Others have done the labor. Others have gone ahead of us. They have believed and persevered up until the point they stopped. Others have done the hard work. And you are reaping the benefits of their labor. So to struggle in our pursuit of the finish is that we have not understood this truth. That there is a labor that went before you. A labor that went before you, meaning that there is grace. You don't have to work for the grace that Abraham worked for to get and to see. We have stepped into their labor. And we are reaping the harvest. What does this mean? Think about it like a relay race. You are the fourth guy to finish this thing for your nation. The first guy has gone. Passed the baton to the second. The second guy has gone. He passed the baton to the third. Now the third guy has gone. And he's passing it to the fourth guy. And we are those guys to finish the race. That's why they are what? Cheering us on. We have a cloud of witnesses. They are like, keep going. You can do it. We did the first lap. We did the second lap. We did the third lap. To enter into the arrest is to do yours. Without having to start from the beginning. Without having to go and run again. How silly would that look? So sometimes when we are saying, I don't think I can. And God is like, are you joking? God, I'm tired. I don't know if I can do it. This is what these guys started. They've released grace for you. A lot of them did not even have precedence. We are not the beginning church. We are the finishing church. Meaning that we have precedence. We have people that have released a grace upon us to get this thing done. People who should have gone through identity crisis and allowed that to cage them from actually expressing this divine life. But they did not. He said, even unto death. He said they went beyond the boundary of death. They went beyond the boundary of death. How do you kill a man? How do you kill a man who is already living from eternity? Living in eternity. How do you destroy the hope of someone whose hope is not here but in eternity? I was charged today. And for us, I love how he broke it down to our family life, down to our personal life. And I know Pastor is going to really help us understand more of the things that were shared today because it was a lot. But I want us to see how our lives connect. Can you feel the same thing Abraham was feeling? Can you feel the same thing Abraham was feeling? Can you feel the same thing Moses was feeling? The same thing Joseph was feeling? And so for us, I'm looking at my life. And I'm saying, because as we're singing a song, it says, let the truth of your kingdom reign in me. God was like, you see how you're looking at those guys? It says, that's what it looks like. For the truth of his kingdom to reign in you, you become an institution. They are institutions. You key into the institution of Abraham's life and the graces of Abraham flows to you. People have to key into the institution of your life and know that, okay, I can finish. I can become. I can be transformed. When the truth of God's kingdom is reigning in you, that's what it looks like. You are not mere man. You're not merely flesh and bone. You key into people. He has clothed us with himself. That's the end goal. That's the end goal. And I was supposed to, you know, review some of the things that we looked at and ERC, and all of it was just connecting. When he said nothing moves without the saints, it's a fact and a truth. For as long as it takes is how long it will take. Did you catch that? For as long as it takes, it's how long it will take. So as long as it takes to build your life is how long it will take for God. Like, it's like God is just going to be waiting. Let me get my critical mass. Let me get the people who I'm coming for. And so I was sitting down there. I said, no. I can't stay in this realm of earth-based. You know, I can't stay here.
How long it will take.
I can't function from this place. When we're singing, say, let the weight of your glory fall. And God was like, it has to displace the weight of this earth.
Like it's
if
like
the weight of my glory falls, the weight of this earth that is upon you has to go. Because what? I will not share my glory. That's what it looks. That's what it means.
Let me get my critical mass. Let me get the people.
That there's the glory of God, and then there's the glory of the earth and the world functioning side by side in you. It says no, I won't share it. You either have all of me or none of me.
And so I was sitting down there. I said, no.
And so we want to be a people who we are not just singing it. We are like, God, what does this look like? What does this look like? And he says, my behavior, the institution of my own life. How do I relate with my husband?
I can't stay in this
How way. Do I relate with my children? What How do I relate like? at my office? How do I relate my with all behavior, the things that compromise, or should I say that comprises of me? How do I interact with my friends? What's the nature of my speech? What's the nature of my conduct? What is coming out of me? I shared a post last week that everything that comes out of us has to be God-grade. Has to be God-grade. And it takes deliberateness. Deliberateness, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. In the spirit, in the word, contending with the word, interacting with the word. What is God saying today? Okay, this is what he's telling me, and I'm interacting with it. I'm seeing how it can be, you know, it can become my reality. Oh, Father, we just bless your holy name. Because he has not left us without. He hasn't. He knows. See, God designed us, right? He knows what will really fill us up. And he has created it in abundance. He has created, like, the feast is like eat. Because this is the thing that will actually keep you and sustain you and cause you not just to be sustained, but to thrive. My word. My word is what keeps you alive. My word. And so we are a people who are not just interacting with things that don't pass here. We are interacting with the very life of God. Hello, everybody. Is it possible to interact with the life of God and your life not show it? It's not possible. It's not possible. Look at the guys we read about. It's not possible. You can't be interacting with something that is beyond here and it doesn't show. It's not possible. It's not possible. It says, let us put on the armor of light. Our being. Glory to God. One of the things that was said during Emerging Remnant Conference is that, you know, one of the things about the remnant is that they move in God. And as I was looking at today's session with Dr. Woodruff, I was just like, this thing is not theory. We are actually moving in God. Otherwise, please tell me, where would you have known the concept of knocking from? If God is not the commander of your destiny, do you think you'll be in a place where they are talking about the knock? If you are not moving in God, do you think we'll be in a place where we did knock one, we're now doing knock two? A people who are journeying. If we were to be the ones in charge of our own process and journey, we will not be talking knock one or knock two. We'll be talking one to do this, do that, you know. God is like, I want to show you my heart. Let me remove the scale and the seal from the word so that you can step into it and journey with me. Journey with me to me, because that's the end goal. Journey with me to me. And so God has literally been the one at the head of building us and building his church. Say, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is that not what he's doing? Is your life not a testament of that building?
Yes.
It is. I'm building nothing. Nothing. It says they move in God. They understand migration. They understand journeying. We were at the realm of asking. Then we moved to the realm of seeking. Now they are in the realm of knocking. They were in the outer courts. Now they moved to the holy place. And now they are entering into the holy of holies. They were operating in 30-fold. Then they moved to 60-fold. Now they are entering the dimension of the 100-fold. They get it. They get my heart. The finishing generation gets my heart. They get my heart. And it is by his grace. And that grace, we can see it, we can touch it, we can feel it. Because it's our life, it's our experience. The grace of God is taking us from one level to another. We behold him here, he transforms us. We behold him on another level, he transforms us from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You know that the faith you use in starting this work is different from the one that you're operating in now, right? Levels. Levels of faith. The first one was, this can never happen to me. Oh. And God was protecting you in that realm of, it can never happen to me. And then he took you to the realm of the three Hebrew boys. Like, hey, if it happens to me, hey, no wala, we won't bow. Levels. Took us to the realm of, okay, no problem. God, you gave me this thing. You're now saying I should submit it. Ha, okay. That's the realm of Abraham and Isaac. I waited. I had faith that you give me. Then you did. That was a level of faith. Then the other level of faith is I sacrifice him. And then I was so sure that no problem, you raise him from the dead. That was the Jesus. He was touching Christ. He was not just seeing him, his son. He was seeing the dimension of Jesus Christ. The relationship between God and the Son was what Abraham was touching.
Yes.
You will kill him, but you raise him from the dead. Faith, levels, levels. We know that this is not how we started. God has been working in us, doing a mighty work in us. And we are not ungrateful to act like it has not been working. Because it has. It has brought us to this point where we are right now. As the finishing church. Since Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. There's a time for the finish. And we are facilitators. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be a facilitator of the finish. Others worked. Others labored. And we are entering into their labor. Hey, God. Hey, God. Let's look at that scripture again. This was in the context of Jesus saying, my food, the preceding 4:34, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So you see that this scripture is for us. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open up your eyes. Perceptive sight. God, we still have time now. This finishing you are talking about, there's still small time. And Pastor was saying, live as if today, you don't know. There's still time. Jesus could have been like, there's still time. Let me not talk to the Samaritan woman today. Maybe next week. He says, but my food is to do today what the Father wants me to do today. To live in accuracy today. To be in alignment with his heart today. That's my meat. That's what will give me fulfillment. That I'm walking in accordance to divine design per time. That's my food. Say, open your eyes, oh. Perceptive sight. You don't look according to the natural realm. Because what's happening in the spiritual realm is very different. Don't say, there are not many of us. Don't get it twisted. There are many of us. Yes. We saw them today.
Yes.
They said a cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
Can you count cloud? Can you count cloud? You can't. It speaks to immeasurableness. It's just me. It's just us. We are just small. God is like, are you joking? Lift up your eyes. He says, you people are many. It's ripe. It's ripe for harvest. I'm not just even talking in the context of us going to harvest. I'm talking in the context of what is happening in the spiritual landscape. God is saying, you guys, only if you could see. It says, toss the same. It says, even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvest and a crop for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Toss the same, one sows and another reaps. It's true. It's true. It's true. So what a beauty to enter into the graces of those who have gone before us. And that gives us greater energy, greater momentum to push to the very finish. And this doesn't mean that we become useless in the earth, like we are no longer interacting with our world. No. In fact, I was interacting with something yesterday. And he was using an example of John the Baptist and how John, when he came, his message was like, be holy, be separate, be consecrate yourself. You guys, Jesus is coming, you know, holiness, righteousness, purity. And then Jesus comes and his message is, go into all the world and make disciples. Do the work, enter greater works than I did, you will do. And God says, that the core, the reason for your consecration and holiness is not for isolation, but for infiltration. You are not being separated to be isolated. You are being separated and redesigned to infiltrate.
Yes.
That's the work. So as we are talking finish and talking this dimension, don't think you go and lock yourself in the room and have no relevance. No, you will still be light. That is what it means. So as God is working in you, working faith in you, working righteousness in you, working purity in you, you carry it. You carry that being that you are into every sphere of life. Like Daniel did. Like Joseph did. Like Jesus did. You enter into the places that you are supposed to be in. Sorry, ladies, I only mentioned guys. Like Esther did. Like Deborah did, like Mary did. All of them. All of them. They did not hide. And the one that wanted to hide at some point, Elijah, the thing was, oh God. One of the days God told me, when I was like, it's not easy to be a prophet. This, you know, and one woman is just terrorizing you. You know, you are so powerful. All of a sudden, it's just one issue that just wants to make you feel like, God, take my life. All the great prophets, at some point, Jeremiah said, I caused the person that, do you know the level of depression and pain you will be in to cause the birth, the day should be wiped out? And God says, they didn't have community, but you do. That the power of community is what keeps you sane on this journey. So you cannot afford to say, I'm doing Jesus by myself. You will end up in the cave like Elijah. Yes. They were powerful, but community. In that season, God was sending them one. And so the pains, they carry the burdens alone. And when God told him that, I have 7,000 that I have not, but say, at least bring the 7,000, that you would have brought us together now. Where did you keep them far? At least if I was seeing them, maybe I would be encouraged. God has brought us together. We are a part of a community. We don't understand the love of God, the grace that we've received. We don't get it. Or is it Noah? That only him. After all that work, he now ended up drinking wine, getting drunk. Do you know what it is to carry a divine assignment by yourself? God has now said a church, a body, a people. Because he knows. When Jesus came, he showed us. Showed us the prototype. Community. Jesus did not do it by himself. What happened to John the Baptist? By himself. After a while, he started getting a little like... I don't want to use the word. Because that's when we're like, are you the one or should we send another? Because this thing is burning my head. I don't get. I've been calling that you are coming, you are coming, you have now come. I'm here, I'm locked, I'm in prison. What's going on? Because he was still a... Do you understand? Yes, he had followers, but there was just that sense of this thing God called me to do, my own. But Jesus, he came. Distributed work, distributed assignment. Oh yeah, you go do. You go and this, you heal the sick, you. All of us, we're doing this thing together. We're all becoming together. Then he created the institution and the infrastructure called church. A people. Say the army. Now that's what we're being referred to. The army of the Lord. You understand? Army is not soldier. It's made up of soldiers. That's why you are called an army. Collective. And so in this season of the finish, one of the greatest resources God has given us is community. Is what will make us stay on this journey and not lose our minds. It's what will give us energy to keep running, to keep going. On a day when you are feeling like, ah, God, I'm the only one in my office, you call your sister, who is also the only one in our office, and say, as the only one in your office, how are we doing it, these only ones in our office? I'm the only one in my industry. You will call your other sister, who is the only one in our industry. And then energy flows to keep going. So we must never lose sight of community life. And so God says, you're not just from the earth. I remember when I think it was Pastor Brandy that says, our calling in life is a shout of summons from the other realm. He defines you through his purposes that he brings into your life. His purpose that he brings into our own life. So what we are doing is his purpose. He brought it into our lives. His purpose. And so it is so important that as we journey, we want God to delight in us, right? Dr. Woodruff said there's something called divine pleasure. I caught it. That God can be so pleased with the way I'm instituting the earth, the way I'm carrying out things in the earth, that he's just divinely pleased by my being. We know God can feel anger. We know he can feel wrath. Are we aware that he feels joy and pleasure? Yes. We can say, oh God, come down, strike by fire, all of that. Do you know that he feels joy? Is that same joy? And let me tell you, the way God's joy works, just be comporting yourself. Because it's that same joy that landed Job in what it landed him. Have you seen my son? Have you seen Job? Have you looked into the institution of his life and seen everything that is him is me? Say, God, it's not because. Ah, God, now. Try him. And so it's so beautiful that as I'm doing what I'm doing here, God is feeling it. Now you say, I'm feeling somebody. I'm not feeling somebody. God is, I'm feeling you. I get you're doing it. You guys are getting it. You guys are walking in line. You guys are journeying. So it is imperative that if we are a part of this journey, that we are truly a part of this journey. We don't want to fake it. We don't want to pretend. We don't want to act like we are finishers when we don't even know the concept of the finish. If we are still struggling with this, pastor is here. Speak to your pastor. Say, pastor, I don't think I get it well. I want to get it. Dr. Woodruff said pre-understanding. There is understanding before understanding. So before I step into the knock, or I step into the next phase of my life, or I even come on Sunday next week, I want to get it. I want to get what we are doing. I want to get why we are gathering. Why am I coming together? If I get why I'm coming together, I will not need to be called. I will not need to be checked upon to know why are you not coming. I will get it. I will not wait to be the one that... I won't wait. I get it. And so each of us, we must ask, what do I need to understand, Lord? So that it can change my posture.
So this is, you know, I bless God for what he's doing. And there was so much God was releasing to us today that words cannot even just describe. But we are believing God that over the next few days and weeks, we will begin to see how it will unfold in our lives. We are supernatural. And he says we are naturally supernatural, meaning it is the norm, like he said. I can know where I should go and where I shouldn't go. I can know where I should live and where I shouldn't live. I can know who should be my friend and who should not be my friend. I can know the business venture to do and the one not to do. I can know. That's what it means. I can know when God is pleased and when he's not. I can know. I can know. That's what it means to be supernatural. Can heal the sick as well. Comes with the package. Can raise the dead. It comes with the package. I can speak to systems that are broken and they become restored. It comes with the package. People can look at my life and look at my marriage and see God. Comes with the package. Supernatural. Supernatural. Because the natural is here. We're not from here. We're not from here. Amen. There was something that was said. The earth arrived in darkness as a result of its processes, philosophies, and lifestyle. Do we agree? We are in this space where climate change, things are going bad, degradation, they are even looking for solution for us and we are not trusting them. How did we get here? It's the darkness. They say there's a vaccine we don't want. It's the darkness. It's because you know the quality of man, of humanness in this realm. You know that when your governor tells you one thing, you know that that's not what he means. The darkness. It's as a result of the progression. It has been going on like that. They support NGOs. They are supporting NGOs. Meanwhile, at the core of it is that they want to be stealing the natural resources in those places. It's the darkness. So we don't trust. There's no trust. That everything is fragmenting because of the quality of man. We're not clothed in God. We're not following the ways and the precepts of God. And so we see that that's how it has been going. Even this coronavirus, that it's man, it was science, still part of the darkness. It's still part of it. Any other virus and all the things that come and we think maybe it's cooked up in one lab in China or Russia or whatever, is still part of the darkness. Our lifestyle has gotten us here. Let me even talk about even the way we throw things around. Waste disposal is creating damage in the earth. That man cannot create a system of accurately disposing waste. Lifestyle. Darkness. So the earth is... So weather is just changing. When it's supposed to be raining, it's hot. When it's supposed to be hot, it's everything is lopsided. Look at what happened in Texas. They don't experience that. They were not prepared because the weather there is not for that. The level of snowstorm that they experience is darkness. Man by himself has been engineering the downfall of the earth. Convulsing. And so, but here's what happens. Here's also what is happening. Says the church, on the other hand, and we know that this is not the religious structure of Christianity, right? Has arrived in the place of illumination and the light of God as a result of accurate spiritual journey and processes as well.
So darkness is pervasing the earth, is increasing. But then this is what's happening in the church. Light is coming. You are understanding God's heart. You're understanding the design. You're understanding that, oh, I was made for such a time as this. You're beginning to get, okay, that process I went through, this is what God was trying to build in me. Okay, I get it. That process, that challenge, I understand this is what He built in me. Okay, so we are moving on to the next. We're moving on to the next. We're moving on to the next. I'm saying even in your personal life, because we make up the church, right? It is what you've been journeying in God in your personal life that has produced the level of light that is on the inside of you. And that light is not just on the inside of you now. There's a way you build that the glory of God will rise upon you. And that's what we are experiencing now. We are in the days of His glory. We are in the days of His glory. The glory of God is not just the mist in the air. It's you. It's you and I. It's the church in the last days. How you will see the glory of God is not when the earth is moving. It's when you are moving. Hey, did you get that? How we will experience the glory of God is how you are conducting your personal, family, business, everything. The way you move in the earth. People are like, no, this one, you are not from here. You can't be from here. Because the way we do things here is not how you are doing your own. So this thing speaks to every part of our lives. Every. And we cannot be a people like that if we don't even connect to God, if we don't hear God, if we don't create an infrastructure in our lives that can even continually and consistently work with God. His journey, His process. So we are here today by the mercies of God. We're here today by the glory of God. We're here today by the grace of God. What a privilege. And that light is the light that is piercing through the darkness. You are piercing through the darkness. The glory of God upon you is piercing through the darkness. Starting with the darkness in your own life. As the light of God comes, it pierces the darkness. As you stand as light, it pierces the darkness in the systems of this world. In the ideologies and philosophies of this world. And we are not going to stop. We're not going to stop desiring this Father. We're not going to stop longing for this Father. Because we have seen what the power of persistence can do. We have seen what the power of consistent pressing in and journeying can do. We have seen that after a while, the door will be opened and we will enter. We have seen, oh God, by the mouth of your Son, our elder brother, who showed us what you have for us and said to us that if we keep knocking, this door will be open. If we keep pressing, we will be. If we keep pressing, the dimension of our being will be transformed and we will enter. Father, this is our heart cry. This is our heart's desire. This is our heart's desire. This is our heart's cry, Lord. Oh, Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you, Father, for what we have entered into. We bless your holy name. Be thou glorified. And we mean it. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen, amen, amen. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God.